Why isn't that playing any sound? Let's start that thing over again. All right. I'm gonna do an intro now. Oh, hello there, fellow makers, including the prop tarts in the chat who are very patient. Welcome. Welcome to Prop Live Q&A, your weekly prop and costume making question and answer session. I'm Bill, and we have a guest lined up and everything this week. Again, we're like 5 weeks in a row with guests. We have Sparks, or Little Sparks.
Hi, guys.
One of our friends who we got to hang out with at BlizzCon this year, a wonderful
Yes.
maker,
Thank you.
and known for making things like Chromie, which is one of my favorite costumes. And if you want to check out everything that Sparks is up to, you can go to twitch.tv/littlesparks. That's Sparks with a Z. And everything's over there. You've been doing a lot of live streaming?
I was leading up to TwitchCon this past year. I was pretty much streaming like full time, and then after BlizzCon, I needed a bit of a break, and then there was, you know, the holidays and all that stuff. So I'm just now getting back into it, but I hope to be back on my almost everyday schedule pretty soon and get rolling on next
Of
BlizzCon.
course, gotta start on BlizzCon,
Yeah.
months or almost a year early, which I have never done. I always have grand plans and never follow through. Of course, I totally clicked on the wrong thing. Let me fix my. Where'd it go? There it is. I got a picture here of your the one of the many costumes you brought to BlizzCon this year. This is your Arthas. I can't remember which
Yes.
version of Arthas that is.
This is Mystic Kingdom's Arthas.
Right. And it was awesome. Now that one
Yeah.
you made that for TwitchCon, right?
I had
Or
originally planned on it for BlizzCon, and then I was persuaded by some friends, and they were like, "Well, you're streaming this progress every single day. You definitely fit the qualifications to enter TwitchCon. You might as well do it." And I was like, "I don't know." And then I went back and forth for a while, and then I decided to enter it into TwitchCon contest. And so I did enter it there. I participated there first, and then took it to BlizzCon.
awesome. And I got to see it firsthand
Yeah.
in BlizzCon, and it was amazing.
Thank you.
And I think I even got some wicked cool video of you. Actually, I think I got video of you in two different costumes.
You did. My
Yeah.
boyfriend watched the video and he was like, "Why do you get to be in the
Make two amazing costumes, that's why.
Yeah,
That is great.
it was for BlizzCon, but ended up I actually entered it into three contests last year, and which is very, very off for me. I'm not really big on contests. I normally don't enter contests except for BlizzCon, but friends were very persuasive this year, trying to encourage me to get my work out there beyond BlizzCon, because I just get a lot of people who are like, "I really like your stuff, but I've never seen you before. Like, where have you been?" I'm like, basically, if you've never been to BlizzCon, you've never seen my work, because that's really all I do is BlizzCon. So my friends are like, "No, go to this con and enter here and do this." And so I'm trying to spread my wings a little bit, get to other things besides BlizzCon.
What other have you ever done Phoenix Comic Con?
I do Phoenix Comic Con. I usually reuse a costume for that convention. Last year, I ended up making a new costume for it. I did a custom version of Poison Ivy, and wore that one day. And I actually wore my Master Chromie from Heroes of the Storm for one day as well. I think that's all I wore this past year to Phoenix Comic Con. Phoenix Comic Con is brutal. It
Yeah.
really is. It's in June
Yep.
in Phoenix. And I remember, I guess it was 2 years ago, I decided to wear, I wanted to reuse a lot of my Scenarius costume from BlizzCon 2015, that was. And it, I, because it has like the big centaur body and everything, and I knew that that wasn't practical, so I revamped this into a druid costume, and I used most of the pieces from that Scenarius costume, but made like a long suede and fur skirt and all this like heavy stuff, and I added long sleeves, And then my friend's like, oh, you want to do a photo shoot before Phoenix Comic Con? And I'm like, okay, we get out there. It's 120 degrees. I'm wearing these huge antlers, this long wig, all this fur and foam armor. And it was, it was disgusting. It was so hot. It was horrible.
I did, I was there a few years ago, and just my Mass Effect armor, trying to go outside was not even an option. Like,
yeah.
Scurry from one misting balcony to another.
Yep.
I've got a picture of that scenario up on the screen right now. That is very cool. So you're into World of Warcraft, are you, huh?
Yes. See, that is the modified version, that picture that's right there. That's with the skirt and with the fur panels on the sides and everything. Because Phoenix Comic Con is super crowded. Like, BlizzCon is nice. I could wear the centaur body with the Cenarius costume at BlizzCon without problem. Because the people are very spread out at BlizzCon. There's a lot of open space, especially if you don't mind going outside here and there. And Phoenix Comic Con is like wall to wall people. So fitting that deer butt and trying to drag that thing around in all the crowds at Phoenix Comic Con was not going to happen. So I had to adjust some things and get rid of the deer butt for Phoenix Comic Con.
I like that though. I like having multiple versions of a costume. That's cool. Very neat. So do you said you've started something for BlizzCon for next year, and you also said you will probably change your mind. But do you want to talk about what it is you're starting or potentially making? Or
I started a gender bend version of one of the Malfurion skins from Heroes of the Storm.
Okay.
It's a winter version of Malfurion. It's called the Ice Storm Mantle Malfurion. And he's got his giant antlers. I'll be making giant antlers again, which was one of my favorite parts to make for Cenarius. I get to make wings. I'm obsessed with birds, and it's amazing. In my mind, it's amazing that I have not made wings yet because I am so obsessed with birds. So I'm really excited. They're not traditional style wings. They hook to the back of the shoulder and the wrist and are just a kind of like an arm extension. But I get to make big fake feathers and all that. So I'm really excited to get to make wings. And I'm going to be using a lot of materials, learning to use an airbrush.
All right.
I traditionally hand paint everything. I'm going to be doing a lot of different type of casting. I'm going to try to teach myself how to do cold casting for some pieces. Because I want to show people that I can do more than just carve cool things out of foam. I can do other stuff. I can work with other materials. So this one is a very mixed media project. It's got fur, it's got fabric, it's got foam, it's got, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. So it should be fun.
That's great. Well, I'm excited to see that even about. Now, when we were at BlizzCon, you did at least one panel, I know, because I caught some of it. That was really great.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I was excited to be asked to do that. It was a shock that I got to do that because I am such a BlizzCon junkie. And it was one of those moments, like going there on Thursday when they had to do all the mic checks and everything, and they had our visuals for the panel up on the big screens behind the stage, and I walked up and I was like, I'm up there, I'm on a big screen at BlizzCon, because like my life is BlizzCon. I run I admin a Facebook group for BlizzCon cosplayers. I start my BlizzCon project very early in the year, and it's just pretty much my entire year revolves around BlizzCon. So to be asked to do that was a thrill for sure. It was cosplay 101. We talked a little bit about how we get started in cosplay, how we choose our characters and different materials people can start playing around with and things like that. And the response was great. I had a lot of people come up to me the next day or later that day, I guess it was, and say, you know, I really enjoyed your panel. And so that it made me feel really good. It was a fun experience.
Good. Well, I was one of those people. It was a really great panel. I love seeing more fan-centric programming at BlizzCon. That really kind of makes it for me, because the fans really, there's something special about the fans at BlizzCon. Everyone's in. Everyone gets all the jokes. It's pretty great.
Yep. It's a very tight-knit community, especially the cosplay community at BlizzCon. We pretty much all know each other. We go year after year. We see the same faces, and we're very welcoming of new people. We have a very inclusive Facebook group called the BlizzCon Cosplay Discussion, and we are... We're kind of strict with posting, you know, we try to keep it on topic to just cosplay at BlizzCon and what people can expect and tips and advice on the costumes people are making specifically for the convention. But it's a very tight-knit group. I want to give a shout out. We just lost a BlizzCon cosplayer a few days ago, Mike Biasi. He's amazing. Everyone knows him from his Grommash costume that won in 2016. And it's very unfortunate, but we're a very tight-knit group, so we're still reeling after that, but
yeah,
he's an amazing person.
That was super sad. I met him actually for the first time this year when we were all hanging out in front of the fountain there. And we should probably send people over to the GoFundMe.
That would be really nice
to help out with his family. I know his son is way into the cosplay thing as well. I'm gonna drop a link in the chat there. We'll have a link in the show notes as well if people want to go there and help out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, he was a great guy. My Chromie costume, my Master Chromie. I've done a couple versions of Chromie so far, and the Master version has all these giant resin diamonds that I lit with LEDs. And when I started that costume, I had no idea how to make big yellow giant glowy diamonds. Like, the only gems I had ever made were, you know, little tiny dinky round things. And Mike was the one who gave me the advice, told me the steps I should go through in order to get those nice clean diamonds, and it worked perfectly. And without him, that costume wouldn't have been as cool as it was. So he was a great teacher, a great cosplayer.
And he will be missed.
Oh, there he is.
To lighten it up a little bit, I'd like to point out that Hey Patch was only 12 minutes late, but thanks for showing up, buddy. And thank you everyone else for hanging out with us in the chat. We got Core Geek in there, a bunch of other friends, and if you guys watching live would like to send us a question about prop and costume making or cosplay in general, or BlizzCon or Blizzard or World of Warcraft, send us a question. punishprops.com/live is the place to do that. There is a form there you can fill out and send your question. Brittany is on the other end wrangling those for us, and we'll grab them and answer them here very soon. But first, I want to talk about the prop tarts, our wonderful prop tarts. We've got our prop tart page over on Facebook. We try and plug this every week if we can. Over 4,000 people in there now, which is just mind-blowing. Everyone's talking about really cool stuff, projects they're working on. I see people here talking about the new show that Adam Ellis and Marcus Laporte are doing from Rooster Teeth called Master and Apprentice, which is wicked cool. It's a prop-making show. It's high production value, really cool projects. I know there's a new video out today. I'm going to watch it as soon as we're done here. Very excited. As I scroll down the prop tart page, someone did a Malcolm Reynolds pistol build, which is fantastic. Madeline here is doing, I don't know what these guns are for, but made some guns. Logan is making some bracers. Someone else is making a stand for a mannequin, I think, and it looks super weird and creepy, but that's awesome. So if you're looking for fun or help or inspiration, head on over to the Prop Tarts Facebook page. Go make friends. Everyone over there is amazing. Let's see. What else? What else? I have a couple of projects I've been working on. This is something I'm really excited about because... yes, hey, Patch, I'm aware of my microphone breaking up. If you were on time, you would have heard about that 20 minutes ago. This is my favorite gun from Mass Effect, from the whole Mass Effect series, the M5 Phalanx. I made this 6 years ago. I made a mold to make this and the Eagle. They could swap out the top to have the two different versions. And I never made one for myself. 6 years later, it's finally done. I use this as for painting demos. And there it is. It's all done. And I'm going to go hang it up next to the rest of my Mass Effect guns and be really happy about it. Also, other space guns that I haven't had one of. Here's Ray's blaster. I have made and painted, I think, 5 of these, and I still didn't get one for myself. I gave a bunch away at Emerald City Comic Con, but this one is mine. And again, I was doing paint, using it as for painting demos for some upcoming videos. So I finished one of these as well. Now, this isn't new to anyone. These are projects I've done years ago. But I want to talk about it because I'm excited to finally have one for myself. So that's what I've been working on this week. We got a bunch of videos coming out soon on some of those painting demos. Brittany has a big project that she's finishing up, doing a video of. That should be out very soon, and you guys should be very excited about it. But I'm not going to tell you any more than that because I want it to be a surprise.
Super secret.
Yes. But that's it. That's all we have had going on. I'm about ready to go dive into some questions here. And once again, if you want to ask a question and you're watching live, punishprops.com/live is the best place to send those questions. You ready there, Sparks, to do some question answering?
I am.
All right, this first one is totally for you. Corium9 wants to know, Centaur, how?
Oh, man. The Centaur is made from a frame of 2x2s with a pulley system that I rigged through it. It's got metal pulleys and eye hooks and a cable or cables that run along the length of the body and along down the legs. And there's a series of hinges at the hips and the knees of the legs. There's video somewhere. I think it's on my YouTube channel, which if you visit my Twitch, you can find the link down below to my YouTube channel, I think. But there is a video of me walking in it, and you can see the legs move. But it's just a basic frame, very angular, and then the shape of it is made from styrofoam. And then I made a skin over the styrofoam after I had carved it into the body shape out of duct tape. And skinned it with duct tape and then sat there and sewed fur and covered the whole thing in fur. And the whole thing weighs about 20 pounds. There's the video.
This is amazing.
So that is it ended up walking a little bit better than that. By the time we got it to BlizzCon, we had adjusted where the straps actually hooked to my thighs, which allowed me to have the legs move a little further with each step. So it was a little bit better by the time we got there, but it's wood, styrofoam, and fur. It's a really very minimal. There's no electronics or anything like that. I have promised people that I will do a tutorial on it because I can't take the one that I made apart now. There's no way for me to show anybody the inner workings of it. I have a couple progress pictures and stuff, but I was really bad at that back in 2015 when I actually made that costume. So I promise everyone I will make another centaur body. Obviously, if I'm going to spend all the time making another centaur body, I'll probably make a whole costume out of it, something like Lunara from Heroes of the Storm. But I will record the entire process, show everybody how I scaled it to my body, how I ran the pulleys. I'll probably make some adjustments, especially to the shoes that I had worn. I had made these crazy hoof shoes. You see a lot of people with the heelless hoof shoes that make their legs look like deer and stuff. Mm-hmm. I had a pair of shoes like that I had made, and having to lean forward and pull so hard on the pulleys all day ended up breaking all the blood vessels in my toes. It was extremely painful to wear. So I will make some changes. I know things that definitely need to be improved when I do it again, but it was definitely a labor of love, but I really love how that project turned out, and I'm super proud of that one. I loved the foam work on that project too, the EVA foam work, all of the wood textures, the wood hand, the wood corset, the branches, all of that in that costume is all EVA foam. So that was a really fun one.
Pretty spectacular. I'll tell you what I like. I like that half of the videos on your YouTube channel are baby chickens. That's pretty great.
Oh my gosh, yes. I raise chickens. I do. I raise chickens. My YouTube channel is very minimal. I don't really post on YouTube very often.
But if you're into cosplay and baby chickens, it's the place to go. Let's see here. Corium9 also likes to ask if anyone has hidden talents. Do you have any hidden talents? For example, I can do this. I can make three loops with my tongue.
Okay, I do have something kind of like that, but a lot of people think it's really gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I want to show it because I don't want to like gross people out.
Is it like
basically I can turn my arm completely around on the table. So,
okay, you know what? I believe you.
Okay.
That's great.
But some people get really grossed out by it.
So. Okay, cool. Thanks for the questions, Corium9. Always a good time. Next one here is Dane. Let's see here. How do you create props so quickly? I guess in general, what do you do to be more to be as productive as possible in as little time as possible?
I'm actually really, really slow. I'm not going to lie. It takes me a very, very long time to make a costume. I primarily work on costumes. I don't do a ton of props. The sword for Arthas this year for BlizzCon was my first major weapon. I had done a simple staff for my first Chromie costume. I had made the big wooden hand for Cenarius, but that was more like a glove. And I made a little Audrey 2 plant for my Poison Ivy costume. Very simple props. The sword was my first major prop, and it was about 100 hours worth of work.
Oh, my.
It's all EVA foam, so every tooth, every horn is all carved from EVA, so it's very, very time-consuming. But I like taking my time. I don't do commissions, so I don't have to crank things out, and I only do a couple projects a year, so I can take my time and make stuff at my own pace.
That is good. A couple of things I do to be as productive as possible is I know that the most valuable resource I have is my time. So I spend more money on tools that make work faster and more accurate, and materials that I don't have to compromise on. So for a good example, I could make everything out of floor mats, right? I could go to Harbor Freight and get cheap floor mats. Or I could buy really good foam, like go to TNT Cosplay, get big rolls of foam that doesn't have any texture on it. That saves me time, and I'm willing to spend the extra money to get back the time. So I'm not sanding texture off foam or trying to deal with the foam that's got pock marks in it or anything like that. So I tend to be more productive, I just tend to spend more money.
Yeah, I'm actually doing that exact switch for this costume. Normally, I try to do a large majority of my foam sculpting out of floor mats, mm-hmm. and then I have to sit there and deal with polishing all the seams out and things like that, because I don't usually take the texture off the back of the floor mats unless it's got that really chunky diamond plating texture on the back, then I will do that one. But if it's just the minimal texture, I'll leave it, and I have an easier time just filling seams than sitting there sanding the texture off the back. But I promised myself with Malfurion that I would not cut any corners, and I'm going to get all the best materials. So I've got 2 huge boxes of foam from TNT, and I'm doing everything out of TNT foam for Malfurion instead of doing floor mats this time.
I think you're going to be happier for it.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more example. And this is totally, I'm spoiled, but I'm also fully committed to this life. I have I have 3 bandsaws, but I have 2 bandsaws. One of them has a blade in it for cutting foam, and another one has a blade in it for cutting wood and plastic, so that I can be as efficient as possible with both of those, and I never have to switch blades, because switching a blade on a bandsaw is a pain. So the end product is better because I'm using the right blade, and it's faster because I don't have to switch blades. So that's something to consider. What's if you have a tool like if you have a, let's say a cheaper example, if you have a rotary tool and you're constantly swapping out bits, it's like maybe buy two rotary tools and keep your two favorite bits in it. Yeah. It's just something to think about. A little extra time, or I'm sorry, a little extra money spent on something like that can save you a ton of time. Redbird Props, that's our employee page, is in the chat right now. She's very angry at her bandsaw. She was having trouble getting the tracking right on the bandsaw of her blade.
Oh.
Don't worry, Paige, you'll get it. I believe in you. All right. Thank you, Dane. Great question. Titan Armory. I think I know the answer to this question, but Titan Armory wants to know, what's your favorite con to go to every year?
BlizzCon! Yeah. I do. Like I said earlier, I revolve my entire year around BlizzCon. My social media life is very revolved around BlizzCon, supporting other Blizzard cosplayers, fan artists, and things like that. I love engaging with the other Blizzard fans. It's a very tight-knit community and fan base, and everyone's so passionate, whether it's about Warcraft or Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or whatever. We all love each other, and the community at BlizzCon is my family. I love going there and that's where I see all my friends. Like, I literally do nothing here in Arizona except for work in my garage or in my craft room here, and I don't really do a ton beyond that. And then BlizzCon is where I get to see everybody, and it's just the best. It really is. I do go to Phoenix Comic Con, but I'm not really tight with a lot of the cosplayers here locally. I'm friendly with a small handful of them, but I never really got very involved. A lot of the cosplayers in my area that attend Phoenix Comic Con are very into the superhero cosplays, which I do love Batman, but I'm not, you know, there's a lot of groups that are very like Avengers heavy or you know, the DC, Marvel, and all that kind of stuff. So I just wanted to wear my Warcraft cosplays, and everyone's, you know, it's a Comic Con, and you're not really appreciated so much when you walk in with your World of Warcraft cosplay versus something like Batman, and everyone goes crazy at Phoenix Comic Con if you're in a superhero outfit. So, but it's a cool convention. I do hope to get to a couple new conventions in the next couple years. I have some friends pushing me to go to Colossal Con in Pennsylvania, and maybe Katsu Con or Dragon Con or something like that. So my family lives on the East Coast, so it is a possibility for me to do a East Coast Con if I can like mail my costume to them and pick it up when I get there. So we'll see. I hope to expand a little bit.
If you do make it to Dragon Con, I will see you there, because that is my favorite con. I will say, though, like, this year we're pulling way back on doing conventions. Last year we just way overextended ourselves. There was a point where I was in 7 different cities in 6 weeks, and that was too much.
Wow.
But we are still going to BlizzCon and Dragon Con and Emerald City Comic Con. So we can't do as many conventions this year. But obviously we're going to BlizzCon. Obviously we're going to Dragon Con. I mean, come on.
Awesome.
I mean, I already have my room for Dragon Con.
Sweet. I would probably attend TwitchCon again. I don't think I'd enter the contest again. Don't get me wrong, TwitchCon was an amazing experience. I was extremely honored to be accepted to go. It was really cool. I met cosplayers that I wouldn't have ever met because they don't typically cosplay at BlizzCon. So I got this whole new group of friends that I'm now in contact with online and through Twitch and stuff because of TwitchCon, and I was very honored to receive an award at TwitchCon. So it holds a place in my heart. It was a lot of extra stress on me as far as my costume build, because I knew that the judges at TwitchCon were going to be a lot more critical, and they were. The judges at TwitchCon, like, were literally, like, I'm not even joking, crawling around me on the floor, inspecting, like, my sword and my shoes and stuff. BlizzCon, they do a great job, but they have 100 contestants, so that it's the time that they have to judge you is limited. But But it was definitely, TwitchCon was a bit of extra stress that I don't think I'd want to put myself through again, but I might attend just to attend it, because it was a very interesting convention. It was not what I was expecting at all, but it was pretty cool.
Thank you for the question, Titan Armory. Let's grab this one here. This is a material-specific question from Bad Wolf Build. Have you ever slush cast with SmoothCast 325? He's interested in making a mask with it to go for the clear look, but he's not sure if it will work.
I personally have not slush cast with it. I've only done regular gem casting with it.
Right.
So
do you do you pressure cast it?
I do not. Okay. I do regular, just let it sit and hope that I don't get bubbles kind of casting. I usually use 325 or 327 for my resin gems, but I always fight with bubbles. Yeah, I tried the whole vacuum thing, because a vacuum was much cheaper than a pressure chamber and all that kind of stuff. So I've tried a lot of things. I've tried vibrating, using like vibrating things to try to vibrate bubbles out. I get pretty clear casts doing it the way that I do it, but they're never perfect.
Yeah.
I wish I could have a pressure chamber.
Well, the challenge, and I have tried this with the Nuka-Cola bottles that we did. We slush cast it with 325 with a little bit of tint to make it look like a dark brown but transparent or translucent bottle. When you slush cast it, there's no way those bubbles just stay. It's a thin sheen of resin on the inside of the bottle, and those bubbles just hang out there. They don't go away. I have tried slush casting it for a few minutes and then putting it in a pressure pot. The problem is that once either the resin sets up and those bubbles are stuck there, or it's not set up, and when you put it in the pressure pot, all of that steeps down to the bottom and you just get a thick layer. I did that. I slush cast 10 layers of 325 into a Nuka-Cola bottle and tried to pressure pot it after each thing, and you couldn't even see the outer shell. It didn't work. So if there's a way to do that, I don't know. I've heard of people doing it with like food safe epoxies for making like glassware and stuff. I've never done it before. But I will say, if you slush cast with 325, you will get bubbles in it. So if you want it to be transparent enough to see through, you're out of luck. But I'm sure the folks at SmoothOn, if you go ask them, might be able to help you, at least steer you in the right direction.
Yeah, if you are one of the lucky few that have Reynolds Advanced Materials nearby, go hang out with them. They are the smartest people ever.
Yes. And if you're in the Seattle area, by the way, we just got one. Yeah. Down in Kent.
You're lucky too. Yeah, we have one about 20 minutes from me, and I go down there and I'm like, I want to do this, and you guys need to tell me what I need to buy, because I don't know. they know everything. They're the smartest people.
Yes, they are. Let's grab another one. The last one was from Bad Wolf Build. Thank you very much. Our pal Kevin wants to know, I've come to love pattern welded metals in forged blades, and I've recently become aware of anodized Damascus, a pattern welded titanium. It's new to me, Kevin. I'm curious if it's even possible to emulate this crazy colorful pattern with painting, as well as how one would go about it. I have to look up a picture because I have no idea what this is.
Is that like the metal that looks like it's got like oil slick coloring to it?
That's exactly what it is. That's really
I'm
cool.
Smart, you guys.
Yeah. All right, I got pictures. That's crazy looking. So what I'm seeing is it's not. It changes, but this example I have up on screen right now, Damascus, seems to be what most people are going after, and I'm guessing that it's some sort of oxidation, or like when you heat metal up, it'll oxidize at different colors at different temperatures and all that. When I see this, I think of really intricate masking and airbrushing. That's where I would start. But holy crap, that looks tedious.
Yeah. And the only other way I personally would experiment would be maybe with things like mica pigments.
Ooh,
because
yeah,
they give you those shimmery, and a lot of them even have color changing aspects to them. And if you mix mica pigments with a clear like polyurethane, like a varathane polyurethane, and you can get these clear but yet metallically pigmented paints. And if you were to do some sort of eyedropping and maybe layering using the eyedropper and different color mixing with the mica pigments in a clear varnish, kind of like people do it with their nails. Have you ever seen, there's videos where people like put nail polish on top of water or something, and then they dip their nails and they get that cool marbling. There may be some way you could do that with like different metallic paints and get them to swirl and then dip your thing in. So there's, it would definitely take some experimenting.
It'd
definitely be a fun project to try to pull off for sure.
You might be able to base coat it in one, like you were saying, mix your mica powders or any kind of pearlescent or those two-tone shimmery paints. Do a base coat in that and then mask off the pattern, the sort of zebra stripe pattern, with a masking fluid like toothpaste or mustard or liquid latex. And then do another one of those shimmery paints the opposite. So if you did a blue shimmery one, blue-purple one, do an orangey one. But again, it looks, I mean, to get that zebra stripe pattern, I think the most consistent way to do that would be a whole lot of tedious masking.
For sure.
Yeah. Hey, Shepherd Amends in the chat. It says you can do the same thing with rattle cans. I've seen people do that. They spray paint on water and then dunk a thing in it. So, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun experimenting. So, Kevin, if you do experiment with that, let us know. Come back with your results. I'm not going to do it, but you should. thank you for the question, Kevin. Kevin's a nice guy. Let's see. Let's grab another one here from James. He's curious about flexible 3D printer filament. So he's talking about gluing or attaching those together. Have you ever done anything with like NinjaFlex or anything like that?
I have never 3D printed anything.
Oh my goodness. I will.
I just carve everything out of foam and I'm like, that works. I've never worked with 3D printing.
I'll dive in on this one super quick. So the material, I'm not exactly sure. It's a TPU. I'm not exactly sure what that means. But NinjaFlex or any of those other ones. Let me see. TPU filament. It's a flexible, rubbery material. I'm not exactly sure what the best adhesive is for it. I would recommend that if you're going to 3D model something to go connect together, build in as many physical connections as possible. Don't count on your adhesive working. However, I have glued them together. There's a tiny ninja star behind me. Where is it? One of these, I can't remember which one. One of them is NinjaFlex. And I printed it in two pieces and then glued the surfaces together with barge. Just use contact cement. And it seems to be holding. But I wouldn't, like, if you have small pieces that you're sticking together, I wouldn't count on them sticking together or staying together, especially if there's going to be any force on them. And then another thing to try, this is something I haven't tried, but they make flexible super glue. So I would first try barge if you have it already. If that doesn't work, go get some super glue, some flexible super glue, and give that a shot. I should probably get some flexible super glue anyway to try on lots of other different projects. So maybe I'll go order that on Amazon right now.
I never heard of flexible super glue. That's something I need to check out too.
I'm looking it up right now. Flexible super glue. Loctite. That's not flexible. Yeah, max strength, flexible, medium thick, premium cyanoacrylate. All right. So there you go. There's a bunch of different stuff you can try out. And again, James, if you give one of those things a try, please share it with us and let us know how it turned out. Thanks for the question. All right, another one is from Jerry. Jerry, let's see here. He's curious about backer rod, a.k.a. insulation foam. He's curious how it compares to EVA foam when it comes to finishing. So you've done most everything with EVA foam, but have you done anything with, like, insulation foam?
I did do something with insulation foam. I actually made my Arthas sword. The first version of it that I made on stream was out of insulation foam. I decided I was going to then try to cover it in thermoplastic. I had a whole big sheet of fibra, mm-hmm. however you want to call it. And I was like, oh, you know, I'll cover this. It ended up weighing so much that it wasn't going to work for me. So I made the whole thing out of EVA. If I had maybe paper mache'd it to seal the top of the foam, or there's different types of resin coatings I know people use on the insulation foam, but I didn't even bother. I was like, I know EVA foam will work. I just need to make sure that I coat the blade in resin and stuff when I'm done. So I typically just make everything on EVA. So I'm not really pro at the whole insulation foam thing.
I'm reading into the question a little bit more. The backer rod, I'm learning this now, is the dowels of foam, of polyethylene closed cell foam that you can get at the hardware store. And let's see, Going Ape Costumes in the chat says, don't heat it up, it will deflate. That's good to know.
Yeah, that's like insulation foam. If you put your heat gun on in the insulation foam, it like melts it.
Yeah. So the other thing to think about, I'm not sure about the polyethylene, but I do know that EVA foam, spray paint it, no problem. The insulation foam, the extruded polystyrene, spray paint it, it'll melt. Any sort of solvent in the spray paint will likely melt your foam. So always do a test on a scrap piece before you spray paint it. Or
lots of glues will eat it too.
Yes.
So be careful with your glues.
Yeah, barge perfectly fine on your EVA foam, but it will definitely melt insulation foam, and it might melt backer rod. So the best thing I can tell you is just try it on a scrap before you commit. Thank you, Jerry. Good question. Grabbing another one here. Mikey's Nonsense wants to know. He recently had to move and lost a bunch of costumes and cosplay supplies in the process. That sucks, man. It doesn't look like I'll be getting them back. Has anything like that happened to you, and what did you do? I've been fortunate. I haven't lost very much, I can't think. I did destroy... I wasn't in Arizona, but I did leave a 3D printed prop in the car, and it melted. So I had that.
I watched that video of your melted.
Have you had any similar disasters?
No, not of finished projects.
Yep.
I honestly make tons of mistakes while I'm building things. We'll remake things 1,000 times, and things get ruined, or I spill things on stuff. You know, all that kind of mess. But not losing supplies or finished costumes. I actually just threw my very first costume away. It was not the first costume I ever made, but my first time throwing one away.
Yeah.
Because it didn't hold up real well. It was actually a warrior version of Stormy from Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
And my partner was the warrior version of Rainbow Bright, but her costume did have that happen. Her costume did get destroyed before she got to wear it. So I walked around a convention, it was Phoenix Comic Con, as Warrior Stormy without her Rainbow Bright, and nobody knew what I was. So I knew I would never wear the costume again. There was a couple pieces that didn't hold up real well, and it was taking up so much space in my closet that's now getting just, there it is, that is just getting way too much stuff in there. So I was like, you know what, it's just time, Stormy's gotta go. So that one, I wish there was more pieces, like I could have given it to somebody, but there wasn't enough pieces that really were in great shape, because that was actually like the second thing that I ever made out of EVA foam, like my second costume ever. So it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, and it just wasn't worth trying to find a new home for. So
I lost one piece of armor once. I was building my Dragon Age costume, and I had finished part of it, and I still had a day job at that point, and I brought it to work with me to show my coworkers, and I left, or I lost it, or I think the cleaning crew saw it, and it was just a little scrap of looked like metal, piece of plastic. I think the cleaning crew threw it away.
Aww.
I just had to rebuild it. That's all. I mean, that's really all you can do. All I can say to Mikey here is start slowly rebuilding that tool collection and get some new materials and get back on the horse.
Yep.
Yep. And if you have to, if especially if you just moved and you're making new friends, look to a local makerspace and go see if folks there can help you out, especially with tools, and maybe people have extra materials and they can help you get started or get back on the horse quick. Good luck, Mikey. Let's grab another one here. Let's see. User 2006. Making a Titan from Destiny. Yeah.
Yay.
Made me to get a smooth, shiny finish when I paint my foam, and I'm looking to keep things cheap. Wants to seal it with Flex Bond. My question is, what's the best way to sand it, or how much sanding should I do? So, do you have a favorite method for sealing foam?
I have always been a big fan of wood glue as my foam sealant, and I use Elmer's Wood Glue Max. But I have heard and have just keep getting people telling me, you need to try Flex Bond. I just bought a giant bottle, and Malfurion is the first costume I'll be using that product on, because this project is about learning new materials and trying out new things. So, but my wood glue, it was always my go-to, and I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to be using my Elmer's, but I've always had really awesome luck with it. I know some people have horrible cracking and all kinds of problems with wood glue. I love Wood Glue Max. I never had any issues with it. I've used it on every single armor, from my very first Chromie to Scenarius to Master Chromie to Arthas. Like, everything I've ever done has been the wood glue. One product I do use on my foam as a top coat to give my metal stuff a nice shine that a lot of people don't play around with, because a lot of people are very into spray things like top coats, clear sprays. I use Varathane polyurethane indoor. It's a wood floor sealant. I started using it because I have done a lot of polymer clay sculpting over the years, and it's one of the very, very few clear coats that you can put on polymer clay that won't over time get sticky with it reacting with the polymers. So once I started cosplay years ago, I decided, no, I'm just going to try top coating my gold armor here with the Varathane, and I got so many compliments and people asking me, what do you use to top coat your armor? It's like so shiny and perfect, and it's self-leveling. It dries insanely fast. It does not come in matte. It only comes in like satin and gloss. But I swear by that stuff on things that I want to be shiny like metal.
Does that go on top of the paint then?
Yep, that's a top coat forever. I paint everything with acrylic craft paint. Mm-hmm. Even my metallics are all acrylic craft paint. And then everything is topped with Varathane polyurethane. The only thing that I have not used it on was Arthas, because I wanted Arthas to remain matte so it looked like stone. But all my other armors that are shiny and stuff all are coated with that as a top coat.
And then the wood glue, after, like, how many layers do you put on, and how do you sand? Do you sand it down smooth?
I do not sand it. Okay. I do usually at least three coats. I mix it with a little bit of water, and I actually mix it with a little bit of acrylic paint. I'll usually choose a color that I want to be my base coat. A lot of times I'll use gray. And I'll mix a tiny bit of gray into my wood glue with a tiny bit of water, mix it up till it's a drippy consistency, and then I'll just do a few layers, letting it dry in between. I never sand it, unless there happened to be some like crazy drip or something that happened, but usually it doesn't drip on me or anything. So I love it. I've never had issues with it like pulling or anything. I know some people are like, I hate wood glue, I use Plastidip, and I hate Plastidip. So we all have our preferences. I love wood glue. I'm hoping that I like this Flex Bond, because I have a huge gallon of it now.
Yeah.
So we'll play around with it.
Cool. Great. Well, maybe user 2006 will try and make his shiny Titan armor with some of that Varathane. I'm going to put that in my wish list on Amazon. Next time I'm making shiny armor, maybe I'll give it a go. Let's see here. We got one from Ringleader Luna. I'm working on a Metal Gear Rising Raiden costume. I need to look that up. I can't remember what it looks like. And I have no idea how to get the muscles you see on his sides. I want to move easily in it and not be stiff. I'm not one to cast aspersions because I am not fit. But you could do a ton of sit-ups. I'm just saying. No, the suit is like a mechanical muscle suit looking thing. And that's not easy to do. And I've never done a muscle suit before. But I have seen some people do really creative things by getting a flat sheet of foam, carving the back of it, the seams between muscles, and pinching and bulging the foam to make foam muscles, especially abdomens. I just saw one today.
I did as well. I watched one of Batman armor being made in that exact fashion today. Yeah. I watched it while I was drying my hair.
Let me see. It was linked in the prop tarts. We've got Sharon here has a Batman with crazy abs. I do believe is all EVA foam. I think there was another one. But that would be a good one to toss to the prop tarts to see what they've been working on. And then there's another one I can't specifically remember. Dariza. I know him. I can't remember how to spell his name or pronounce his name. But he was on Cosplay Melee. He's a wicked cool guy. And that's his page. Where is it? There we go. And he does this a lot. This sort of abdomen. And of course there isn't a picture. But he does that chiseled ab. There's his Wonder Man, not Wonder Woman, Wonder Man. So go check out what he's been working on, and he'll be happy to show how he does all that stuff. But basically carving musculature into the back of the foam and then foam folding and pinching and gluing. Oh, there's a video. Thanks, Nerdy Views. I will show the video. But you can do that. It's going to be tedious. It's going to be a lot of work, but don't worry. Practice and you'll get it. Yeah. So here we go. Cutting out the foam. Carving trenches in the back. Heating it up. Gluing it together and pinching it. We'll link to this video. You guys can go check it out. Good luck. Good luck on all of your sit-ups. I think we have one more question. Lupe Garu says, have you ever glued insulation foam to EVA foam? That's interesting.
I have not, personally.
I'm trying to think if I have or not. I can't remember. I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I don't think I have. And if you go to thistothat.com, which is my favorite website for glues, their only option is foam. It doesn't differentiate between the different types of foam.
Yeah, I think you'd have to use, like, hot glue or something that won't melt the insulation foam. Because mm-hmm. the stuff you'd normally use on EVA, most of it melts insulation foam.
So, yeah, hot glue is probably a pretty good place to start. I will say, thistothat.com, which I'm going to just do a quick tutorial here, everyone. If you go to thistothat.com, there's two drop-down menus. Their only option is styrofoam, so I'm going to see what they recommend gluing styrofoam to, say, wood. Let's see. A polyurethane adhesive, Gorilla Glue, LePage's Universal Adhesive. These are all glues I've never used before. But they also say the fastest bond we recommend is hot glue, so maybe hot glue is the best one to start with. Do a small test on a scrap that you don't care about. And again, if you figure out the best option, give us a holler. We'd be happy to learn ourselves. That is all of the questions. Thank you guys so much for bringing those fantastic questions.
Yeah, that was a lot of questions.
And thank you, Sparks, for hanging out and answering those questions. This has been
absolutely
a wonderful chat. Of course, if you guys want to follow along what Little Sparks is up to, you can find her on all the things, twitch.tv/littlesparks. I've been going through your Facebook page to check out all your amazing photos. Very well presented. So head on over there, give her a like, and follow her on Twitch. Because do you know when you'll next be live on the Twitch?
Tomorrow's Friday, probably tomorrow.
Awesome.
I don't typically stream on the weekends. Occasionally, I will be like really gung ho about something I'm working on, and we'll work through the weekend. But I'm usually a Monday through Friday kind of streamer. I usually get on around 11 my time, which is Mountain Time here in Arizona right now, I think. Which I guess is 10 Pacific in the morning, and I'll just go until I have to eat or something. So I just craft until I'm ready to stop, and it's been really fun. I have a really great group of people that come and hang out with me every day and watch me and keep me company. Every once in a while I'll stream a game or something, but for the most part it's cosplay and we're making the things. I've got a couple projects started. I had a Subvote cosplay where all of the people that subscribed to me over a series of months, they were able to vote on a list of costumes that I had picked out that were budget costumes that I felt that I could do under $200. And they decided on Dream Genie Chromie from Heroes of the Storm. That's what that crazy looking wig behind me is for, with the giant bun. It is another Chromie skin. So I will get back to that pretty soon. And I'll be working on Malfurion until then and just making all the things.
Awesome.
There she is. That is Dream Genie Chromie. It's not my typical type of costume, but it was the most voted for. And it was one that I chose all the costumes for the list that they got to choose from. It is something that I wanted to make. It's going to push me out of my comfort zone a little bit. I don't typically wear revealing costumes or sexy costumes or any of that. So wearing a little bikini genie outfit's going to be kind of weird for me, but I will do it for my subs and for my awesome viewers on Twitch. So it'll be fun. I have some stuff started on it. So.
Very cool. I'm excited to see that come together as well as whatever it is you're cooking up. Well, the Malfurion, obviously, for BlizzCon next year. And we will see you there.
Yay!
Thanks, everyone, for hanging out. That's it for this week. We will be back next week with another wonderful and exciting edition of Prop Life Q&A. Keep being awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Good show. And thank you, Paige, for doing